Welcome to the meeting of the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee. Ms. Hannan, would you please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Athos?
You might be on mute, Rita.
I shouldn't be. Can you hear me?
Thanks, Dennis. You're right. I'm here, just quiet, but I'm here.
Sorry. Trustee John Butler?
Good morning. I'm here.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Here.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Here.
Trustee Aiden Shields?
Here.
Trustee Eric Wazwitz?
Here.
Board Chair Dennis Farsima?
Here.
And Committee Chair Robert Pritchard?
Here. Mr. Perry, would you please verify that we have a quorum, that an appropriate notice of this meeting has been posted?
Good morning, Mr. Chair. You do have a quorum present. An appropriate notice has been provided pursuant to the Public Meetings Act.
May I have a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting?
So moved.
Second. Montel. A second, Athos.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor, or should we have a roll call on this?
Roll call vote, please.
Yeah. Okay. Ms. Hannan, please call the roll.
Trustee Rita Athos?
Here.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes, I believe yes.
Montel Gales? Trustee Montel Gales, sorry. Yes. Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Yes.
Trustee Aiden Shields?
Yes.
Trustee Eric Wazwitz?
Yes.
Board Chair Dennis Farsima?
Yes.
And Committee Chair Robert Pritchard?
Yes. May I have the motion carried and our agenda is approved as published. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting of the August 20, 2020 committee meeting?
So moved, Wazowitz.
Second, Barsima.
Is there any discussion or corrections? Ms. Hannan, would you please call the roll then for a vote?
Yes, sir. Trustee Rita Athos?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Yes.
Trustee Aiden Shields?
Yes.
Trustee Eric Wazowitz?
Yes.
Board Chair Dennis Farsima?
Yes.
And Committee Chair Robert Pritchard?
Yes.
Thank you.
I believe the motion has passed and the committee minutes have been approved. I'd like to personally welcome those who have joined us today to follow the agenda and hear about some exciting activities that have been occurring in the academic affairs, student affairs, and personnel area. We have two action items on our agenda and three university reports, which include a number of lengthy but very important reviews of academic programs and a listing of professional excellent awards for faculty and staff. Normally, we invite award recipients to board meetings so we can personally recognize their well-earned achievements. This year, with a virtual meeting, we have to acknowledge their efforts from afar, but gladly welcome many of them who have joined us electronically today. I am delighted to announce that NIU is the recipient of over $450,000 in funding through the Governor's Emergency Education Relief Fund Competitive Grant Program. One of only nine colleges and universities awarded such funds, NIU received one of the maximum grants. The funds will support the following student initiatives: purchase of additional loaner laptops, grants for Wi-Fi access, grants for lost wages due to the quarantine or isolation, and hiring of students to serve as peer counselors and tutors. Let us thank the provost and all those who were responsible for this excellent proposal. The executive vice president, Provost Ingram, also informed me recently that Renique Kirsch, the Assistant Vice Provost of Engaged Learning, is one of 10 national winners of the Outstanding First Year Student Advocate Award. There are only two award recipients from four-year universities and colleges that enroll 15,000 or more students. So this is indeed an exceptional recognition. Only one nominee can be submitted from each American higher education institution for an educator who exhibits exceptional work in the areas of student learning, development, and success. The award is sponsored by the National Center for First Year Experience and Students in Transition. Finally, I'd like to draw your attention to the NIU announcement this week of a new partnership with Rockford to make an NIU education more accessible to eligible students of the Rockford Public School District 205. This program demonstrates NIU's continued efforts to reduce barriers, create opportunities, and invest and improve the lives of our students. I think I speak for the board in applauding President Freeman and her team for reaching this accord with Rockford, Rockford School District 205, and the Rockford Promise Program. Before we go into the agenda, I would like to recognize the University Advisory Committee liaisons for the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee, Associate Provost Professor Katie Jekyll and Kathy Doderling. Other representatives of the University Advisory Committee are Assistant Professor Greg Beyer, Professor Sarah Marsh, Faculty Senate President Kendall Thu, and Operating Staff President Natasha Johnson. Do you have any comments for the board this morning?
Sure, I'll go first, Bob. Thank you, and good morning, everybody. Good morning, Dennis, and board members, and President Freeman, and all my colleagues. It's a nice sunny morning. Mm-hmm. Happy to be here. I just wanted to share with the board a few things that are going on in shared governance, and a couple of which are particularly germane for this committee. Shared governance, as well as leadership in the provost's office, are undertaking the gargantuan task of revising our academic policies and procedures manual. Some of you may be familiar with it. It is an arcane and Byzantine document that President Freeman has asked for us to blow up. We're not going to quite blow it up, but we are working at revising it and actually doing away with it, because what we're doing is looking at all of the sections of the document and deciding whether to keep them, revise them, or do away with them. In some cases, there's a lot of duplication. And then place individual sections of that document in what we have now as the policy library. And in conjunction with that, we are working on, there's a need to streamline and update certain definitions, particularly the definition of faculty, which is different. If you look at the board regs versus the APPM versus the Constitution and bylaws. So we need to update that. And as a matter of fact, I can tell you that the board regs definition of instructors, it needs to be updated. So I haven't sent a note to Eric and Matt and John yet about that, but that needs to be updated. So those are sort of things that come up as I'm reviewing all these documents. So that's taking place. We hope to have the APPM completely updated and the stakeholder groups involved in approving it finished by the end of this academic year. Another thing that's happening is the Faculty Senate has formed a social justice committee to look at policies and procedures at NIU that contribute to institutional racism. We had a very important meeting yesterday convened by Vernice Edgehill Walden to try to coordinate all of the activities that are going on at the university to deal with anti-racism. And I'm very pleased that the level of activity that's occurring at NIU. I recently had a conversation with my counterparts at all of our sister institutions, that is the faculty senate presidents at all of our sister institutions. And I was a little bit disturbed and concerned that the kind of thing that we're doing at NIU is not being done in shared governance at our counterpart institutions. So we have a lot of coordination to do at NIU, but the fact that there's so high of a volume of interest in dealing with institutional racism issues is something that I think we can be proud of. So we'll have more to report on that as the academic year unfolds. I also want to say that we are working on getting comments to the IBHE master plan, encouraging faculty, students, and staff to provide input. Sometimes those sorts of things seem so distant to the daily activities of faculty and staff that it doesn't seem that important, but it is very important, as all of you know. And then I just want to comment on the challenges that we face as faculty and staff and students, given the conditions that we're operating under. As I've said in the past, I am very proud and pleased to see the level of input, the level of dedication that faculty have to teach our students, to mentor our students, given these trying times. And it's just remarkable, really, to see what they're able to do and willing to do. And finally, I want to say that I can say this with all sincerity, that what I hear from faculty, staff, and students is a confidence in our leadership team. And as our leadership team knows, I would be the first one out of the gate if that weren't the case. But it is the case. We have a lot of challenges facing us, but we have a leadership team that we have confidence in. So thank you for giving me a little bit of time.
Thank you, Dr. Thune. Anyone else? Hearing no one seeking recognition, then let's move on to ask Mr. Perry, is any member of the public registered a written request to address the board in accordance with state law and Board of Trustees bylaws?
Mr. Chair, we received no request to address the board this morning.
I would now like to invite Executive Vice President and Provost Beth Ingram to present the university recommendations. You're muted.
Thank you. Thank you, Committee Chair Pritchard. And I would also like to congratulate Renee Kirsch on her achievement. We have two items that call for action. Agenda item 7.A is a request to allow for postponement of approved sabbaticals from academic year 2020-2021 to 2021-22. As you know, the number of sabbaticals is limited to one for every 25 eligible full-time faculty and SPS employees. Due to the disruption caused by COVID, some employees awarded sabbaticals for this year were unable to accomplish their development activities. This request would allow NIU to roll over those sabbaticals to academic year 2021-2022. The university recommends that the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee endorse this request and ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on December 10th, 2020.
Thank you, Dr. Are there any questions to this item?
Bobby, I just raised my hand in the chat room, but this is a action item, right? So do we want to vote on it first and then we can discuss it?
Good. Is there a motion then to approve item 7A, the sabbatical postponements due to the FY22 due to COVID-19.
So moved, Barsema.
Second, Wadsworth.
Now, is there any discussion to this motion?
Yeah, I have a question, and I'm sure you've thought this through, Dr. Ingram, but the normal ratio is one sabbatical for every 25. And I know we're going to roll over so we're going to keep that ratio for 2022 for those eligible in 2022 and then roll over any 2021 into that group.
Correct.
Do you have any concerns that we're going to roll over a lot of folks from 2021 and we're going to have some missing gaps relative to being able to cover all of our coursework and so forth in fiscal year 2022.
We are monitoring that. The number that we expect to roll over is small. There were faculty members who were able to accomplish their goals this year, but there were some who were expecting to travel to research sites or to archives, and those are the ones that are most likely to roll over their request until next year. But we will monitor how that might affect particular departments. I would say that we've already received the applications for next year, and the number of people who applied was one less than the number of sabbaticals that we could offer. So we have, you know, a little one-person room there. But yes, we will monitor that.
Okay.
Anything further, Dr. Dennis?
No, I think Eric has a question in the chat room.
Eric?
Thanks. Thank you, Trustee Pritchard. Yeah, Beth, I think you may have already answered my question. This is basically travel related things then?
Yes, or sites that might have been shut down. So some of our faculty travel to particular sites to do their work, and they weren't able to because those sites were not available for visiting researchers.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Ms. Hannon, would you please take the roll call on this motion?
Yes, sir. Trustee Rita Athas?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Yes.
Trustee Aiden Shields?
Yes.
Trustee Eric Wasowitz?
Yes.
Board Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Committee Chair Robert Pritchard?
Yes.
Thank you.
The motion is carried. Provost Ingram, would you please present the next item?
Agenda item 7.B pertains to the recommendation for tenured appointments for two newly hired faculty members, Gwen Gregory in the University Libraries and Abdoulaye Diallo in the Department of Interdisciplinary Health Professions. The university recommends that the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee endorse this request and ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its special meeting on December 10th, or special meeting on November 12th, 2020.
Is there a motion for item 7B?
So move, Wasowitz.
Second, Barsima.
Is there any discussion?
Could I just ask a question? Sorry, I've got something in my chat room already ready to send, so I wasn't able to go in. But the people listed here, these are folks that we've recently hired that are coming in with tenure. These aren't, because I was going to say the list seemed fairly short. If they were existing professors or existing faculty that were moving into tenure. So, okay.
Yep.
I don't see any other questions. So, Ms. Hannon, please call the roll call.
Trustee Rita Athas?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Yes.
Trustee Aiden Shields?
Abstain.
Trustee Eric Wasowitz?
You're muted, Eric.
Okay. Board Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Committee Chair Robert Pritchard?
Yes.
Thank you.
The motion has carried. At this point, I'd like to ask the Executive Vice President and Provost Beth Ingram to present the university reports.
Thank you, Chair Pritchard. The following items are informational. Item 8A pertains to professional excellence awards for faculty and staff. The university sponsors a number of programs designed to recognize excellence in faculty and staff performance. These awards acknowledge excellence in research, teaching and engagement, and service to the university. The nomination and awarding process is highly competitive and involves review by various appropriate committees. This year, we recognize 10 faculty members. Anne Britt as a Board of Trustees professor, Brad Kripe and Laura Vasquez as presidential teaching professors, Michael Barnes and Michael Papka as presidential research, scholarship, and artistry professors, Carrie Birchfield as a presidential engagement professor, and Alicia Finch, Jamie Meyer, Douglas Wallace, and Carrie Sagebeal for excellence in undergraduate teaching. The operating staff outstanding award recipients are Alan Clemens, Jennifer Ridge, Leslie Scheib, and Patricia Wallace. The presidential supportive professional staff award for excellence recipients are Daryl Little, Charles Hoffman, Meryl Griffin, and Stephanie Ritter. If we were meeting in person, we would now have them stand and we would applaud our colleagues. So perhaps we can take a moment to just applaud them.
Dr. Ingram, please continue.
Item 8.B is an informational item on a change in the academic calendar. University Council met in October and approved a revised spring 2021 academic calendar. The spring semester will start as usual on January 11th, but will end 1 week earlier on April 30th. There will be no spring break, and instead the university will offer all students, faculty, and staff an administrative closure day on Thursday, February 11th, and a three-day weekend administrative closure beginning Friday, March 12th, 2021.
Are there any questions on this issue? And Aiden, I'm sorry I didn't see that you raised your hand earlier. Do you have a question on this or another item?
No question.
Okay. Dr. Ingram, please continue.
All right, and the final item is item 8.C. It's an informational item pertaining to the oversight of the academic programs. This link to your summary of the program reviews that were conducted in 2019-2020. The findings, recommendations, and actions that result from the university review programs are reported to the departments and colleges, as well as to the NIU Board of Trustees and to the Illinois Board of Higher Education.
I noticed there were one or two at least recommendations to discontinue a degree program. Has that already been reported to the board?
I don't know if Carolinda is on the call. This is the initial review of the program, and there would be a recommendation, but before a program was actually stopped, it would have to go through a process on campus. So there could be recommendations that have not been yet pursued, but would go through a normal governance process.
Beth, I am on the call, and that's exactly okay. The case. That none of these have gone through. They've just been recommended, primarily with the input and obviously the consent of the departments themselves and the faculty within those departments, but they have not yet been put through.
Okay, very good. Any other questions or comments on this review?
Mr. Chairman, I do have one question. Forgive me, I wasn't fast enough to get into the chat room. But I want to know, is this part of the process too, where we look at certificates that would be issued by department, or is that something different?
So this, these are reviews of, comprehensive reviews of programs. So it would include certificates that were relevant to those programs.
Okay, thank you.
Trustee Butler, do you have a question or comment?
Can Beth, can you or Carolinda provide a brief explanation of how this differs from, say, the process of program prioritization, that sort of review? Why is this in front of us? I mean, I think it might be helpful for everyone.
So, program review is an important piece of what we do, and periodically, every 8 years, we take a deeper dive into programs to do a larger assessment. So every year we're doing assessments of programs within the departments, but this gives us a chance to review programs at a more in-depth level. We are also required to do program reviews both by IBHE, regulations, and our accreditor, the HLC, requires that we do periodic program assessments. So the reports that you see in front of you are the reports that we would do on that 8-year schedule, and that we would report to be in compliance with IBHE regulations to the IBHE. And they are also the reports that we would use as evidence of our program review process when the HLC, our accreditor, reviews us on their 10-year cycle.
Very good. Are there further questions or comments? Thank you, Dr. Ingram, for this report and the fine work that's going on with our faculty.
Bob, could I just ask one quick question going back to a previous information item on the academic calendar of Dr. Ingram? I know that it's been announced to the campus community in terms of, you know, no traditional spring break. What's the reaction been on campus from students and faculty and staff to that? Have we had a lot of pushback?
You know, President Freeman may want to comment because I think she's more likely to hear some of those issues than I am. I think it's been relatively quiet. There has been concern that we addressed with the two closure days about giving students a bit of a break at periodic times throughout the semester, because often spring break is a time to sort of regroup and recharge. And so the 3-day weekend was a piece of making sure that students had a bit of a break in the middle of the semester. But I think everybody understands that given the health concerns and, you know, what we've seen happening this fall, that taking a week long break that might encourage travel was not in the best interest of the health and safety of our Husky community. President Freeman, I don't know if you've heard other feedback.
I would just say that I think that the provost is correct, that while everybody is a little bit fatigued and tired and frustrated with the pandemic for obvious reasons, our community is very much interested in taking care of each other. And I think the fact that this decision was made with significant input from shared governance, from talking about early end, late start, eliminating the break, how do we build in mental health days, what days do we pick, what's the impact on classes, and also the fact that, you know, typically our spring break is time off for faculty and students from classes, but our staff only get the break that comes when students and faculty aren't around. They don't actually have closure days. And so I think it's also testament to our community and to the board, who was willing to offer the closure days, that, you know, everybody understands the need for mindfulness and mental health breaks. And while folks may be disappointed, we have not heard a lot of pushback. What we actually have heard is appreciation for gathering input and the usual caring and mutual support that's typical of our Husky community.
I see the comment that Dr. Thu put up in the chat room, and I just want to say that, you know, I'm going to assume I can speak on behalf of my fellow trustees, but we really, really appreciate, you know, the support of the University Council and Faculty Senate and in support of this effort. You know, Dr. Freeman told me one thing. Oh, wow. It seems like years ago, but I think it was only about 6 months ago when we were discussing during the summer her level of confidence of what was going to happen this fall. And she said, you know, I don't have a crystal ball, but the one thing I do know is that the Husky community cares about each other and we take care of each other and we do what's right for each other. And I think that that's proven to be the case. And so, thank you to everybody who's a part of the University City Council, Faculty Senate, and everybody who was a part of this decision, because I think it's important that we do everything we can to protect the safety and health of our campus, our campus family. And so thank you.
Very good. Trustee Posowitz, do you have a question?
I had a question on just some of the timing on this. From what I've seen, and I don't know how this sets up with the other universities in the state, but it seems like people were looking at starting a little later and finishing up a little later, as opposed to starting earlier and finishing up earlier. So I'm just curious about the thought process on that.
You know, when we started talking about this issue and Kendall and I started discussing what might be possible, we did explore several different options. It turned out that starting a week later disrupted a lot of processes around financial aid awarding that we thought might be disruptive for campus. And so this for NIU, this turned out to be the best way forward.
Okay. Thank you. Does that fit in with the other universities then, as far as U of I and Eastern, Western?
You know, there are different strategies being taken by different universities. ISU is the only one who's left spring break entirely intact among the universities who are offering some in-person classes. With the universities that have taken a strategy to modify or eliminate spring break, there are some starting late and some ending early. It's varied.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on their own circumstances and what's best for their students.
Okay, I should turn off my camera and hide my emotions. So, okay, thank you.
I think NIU is moving forward on another fronts that are kind of out of step with a number of other universities. And I think we need to continue that litmus test of, does it meet the needs of our students, our faculty and staff, and forward in those directions? Are there other matters to come before the committee? Hearing none, the next meeting date will be February 18th, 2021, if you can believe that already. May I have a motion to adjourn our meeting?
So moved.
So moved.
Second, Gales.
Veronica and Gales is second. Ms. Hammond, would you please call the roll?
Yes, sir. Trustee Rita Athus?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Yes.
Trustee Aiden Shields?
Yes.
Trustee Eric Weswitz?
Yes.
Board Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes.
Committee Chair Robert Pritchard?
Yes.